started there, Terry, Rabbi Yehoshua Jacobson.
Good morning, Rabbi Yosai. My kodel is learning Masechta Schulin, and we came to the Perek of Kisi Hadam, which people are probably familiar. If you have shecht a bird or a chai, you have to cover the blood with soil. In the middle of it is a very interesting mission, which I'd like to discuss, which has applications beyond Kisi Hadam, really into many mitzvahs. And a maisa that the Gemara will quote. The Mishnah says, "Shachet v'lo kisah." If a person is negligent and he doesn't cover the blood, so he shechts the bird, he walks away, and you see this, "Ro'al acher chayv lechasos." You should go over, and you're mechuyev to cover the blood. Not just that you can, you're mechuyev. So Gemara explains, "Tana Rabbana," and says, "Where do we learn this from?" It says, "V'shafach v'kisav, v'misha shafach yikaseh." The one who shechts, he is first and foremost obligated to cover the blood. But if he didn't, shafach lo yikisav, if he didn't, roi acher, somebody else saw. From where do we know that everybody has to cover? V'oyim l'bnei Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Bnei Yisrael has to do it." The Chazal darshan that to mean everybody's included. The Gemara continues and says, "A maisa." What happened once, not like we're saying, the best case scenario is the shofet covered, somebody else sees he doesn't, and then they cover, but this isn't what happened in the Maisa. Maisa be'echad she'shochat, his friend came along, and before the shofet had a chance to cover the blood, the second man came and decided he's going to do it, and he stole away the mitzvah. It was chatov the mitzvah from the shofet. So he took him to Beis Din. It's a well-known Gemara, I think people have heard it before. Chayvim gamliel litin lo yud zehuvim. There's a penalty for stealing people's mitzvah of yud zehuvim. Yud zehuvim, I think we could roughly... in this case, it was stealing the mitzvah. There's also an aspect of stealing the brocha, possibly if he made the brocha, but the pashtus is he stole the mitzvah. There's a discussion about what you're saying. We're going to focus on stealing a mitzvah for now. So, yud zehuvim... If you think about it, let's say it's 10 golden coins. Well, how much is gold an ounce nowadays? $1,000 an ounce? $1,400 an ounce? So a person should give us pause. We should think. If you take away someone's mitzvah, 10 zehuvim, imagine what that involves financially. Now imagine you'd come in and you'd... And this is not necessarily halachal mais. I'm just saying, take this idea further. You'd interrupt the shir. You'd come in here blowing the trumpets. Everybody would stare to look at you. And you'd just mavatled 40 men from learning Torah. You'd have to take out a mortgage to start paying for all the mitzvahs that you have been mavatled. Now, we'll see that may or may not be the application of this Gemara. But the point being, there are ways to stop lots and lots of mitzvahs, and there's a huge cost involved. Simpler example, you show up late for your chavrusa. We don't think much of it, but maybe he's not going to learn in your absence, or it happens at the Shabbos table, you ask one child to pass you the challah or something, and another child quickly takes it and hands it to you. So we have to know, and this is all the time. Someone was named miyuchad, you do this mitzvah, and somebody else jumps in and does it. So are we going to start sending out huge bills to people for all the mitzvahs that they've taken? In fact, there was a story in Gateshead, which someone told me, a Rebbe, one of the Magid Yeshirim, found an Aveda in the building, and his intention was to put up a sign and to find the owner to return it. But before he had a chance, a Bocher who had seen him find it, he knew who the owner was, and he went and he took it and he gave it straight to the owner. So we would think, Zvizim Makdimim, wonderful, but in fact the Rebbe said to him, please be in touch with your father, he can transfer me the equivalent of a Sarah Zehuvim. Because that was my mitzvah, and you jumped in and took it. Now, all of these cases, in fact, we may see there is no such penalty. There may be no such penalty, but nevertheless, the principle applies of not taking people's mitzvahs, and in certain cases, the penalty would apply. So now, there's a very interesting Tosfos. Tosfos asks on this Gemara, isn't this a bit excessive, a sar zehuvim for a mitzvah? He says, I can think of an easier and cheaper way. If you cover the blood that somebody else was going to cover, what would be more fair? What would be more equitable? So, strangely enough, he suggests, give the man a chicken. Give him a chicken. You'll see inside, I'll read it to you, it's not my own idea. Now you say, well, why? Is he a fellow like Sleishik? That's not the reason why. Tosfos in Bava Kama says like this, Ma'isav echad shekorosh the shatz likreis b'sefer Torah. And this is going to be the other case which we need to discuss. Someone was called up for his aliyah. We'll call him Reuven. Reuven was called up for his aliyah. Shimon decides, there's a yortzeit, he has some pressing inyan, he needs to bench a goymel, And he rushes up to the bima, and before anybody can stop him, he makes the brachas, and Reuven loses out. So they went to Rabbeinu Tam. Reuven was not very happy about this, and he said, he stole my mitzvah, publicly took it away, nobody's debating, that's what happened. What's the penalty? I want my asara zehuvim. Rabbeinu Tam told him, sheyitzen lo tarnin goylis. Give Reuven a chicken. Now, has anybody figured out, why would you give him a chicken? What's the tachlis of such a thing? Okay, so even though he stole Kriyas HaTorah, we don't mean, this was not a case of stealing Kisti Adam, this was a case of stealing the brachas on Kriyas HaTorah. So what does it help to give a chicken? So you're on the right lines. Nothing to do with the chicken, really. He says, Lishchei tachas oitzem shtei brachas. Because when you shech the chicken, you're going to get two brachas. You're going to get the bracha on the shechita and the bracha on the kisei hadam. So you stole from him two brachas, so you have to provide for him the hechatimsa to make two new brachas. Now, chickens are a bit expensive. I'm not sure what to tell him to give him a banana and an apple, but be that as it may, that's what Rabbeinu Tam said. Give him the opportunity to make these two brachas. It could be, because it was a mitzvah deraisa, he also wanted him to have that advantage. He just says two brachas. So, the Re has a problem with this suggestion. He says, it's all very good and well that you're replacing the two brachas that you made with two other brachas, but he says, if that would be true, why didn't Rabban Gamliel come to the same solution? Rabban Gamliel, by the Kisui Hadam, he could have said to him, give him another chicken to shecht, he'll get to do Kisui Hadam, and everything will be sorted out. You see that Rabban Gamliel didn't do that. So he says, his svara beyond that, which is, Zois mitzvah cheresi. It's a new mitzvah. The mitzvah shein ha'ochala. The first mitzvah has disappeared. It's off the radar. You're just coming along with new mitzvahs. What about the old mitzvah? This is uvas lo yuchal liskoin v'chesorin lo yuchal limonos. It's something you can't fix. Once it's gone, it's gone. And the only solution is Rabban Gamliel's solution to pay asara zehuvim. So now Rabbeinu Tam has some answering to do. And the question is, we're going to see four different answers in Rabbeinu Tam why he is happy to just give the penalty of paying with this chicken and its brachas rather than the sarah zehuvim. So number one, he says, and built into this is not a total get out. He says, even if I'm going to find you heterim, why to take people's mitzvahs b'di'evit, if you did it, you don't have to pay. But he says, don't think you've done something good. Don't think you don't have to appease the person you stole from. And this is brought in the Yam Shel Shlomo explaining Tosfos. This is an answer that's only going to make a chiluk between nowadays and the times of Rabban Gamliel. The other answers are actually going to explain why mitzvahs are different. This one's just saying Rabban Gamliel is different than nowadays to do with a certain halacha. And he says like this. Again, another story. Ma'isa Echad, the Yam Shel Shlomo says, this is a quote, I believe, from Tosfos himself, where there was a father who wanted to give a milah to his son, and he wasn't capable, so he asked the moel to take care of it for him. Before the appointed moel had his chance to do the milah, somebody came and decided that they would do the milah. And the first moel said, I was appointed, you've taken it away from me, I want my asara zehuvim. So Rabbeinu Tam says he doesn't have to pay, but not for the reason that he doesn't really owe, but rather because Beis Din nowadays does not collect kanosos. That means that as useful as Beis Din is nowadays, doing in Chesh and Mishpat Shailas, but there's one area they don't enter into, and that is the kenosis of Chazal. They were not empowered to continue in Galus and Bavel, however you want to describe it. It says, the Lashon is, if there's no chesor and kis, that means you didn't cause him an actual financial damage, we don't do the Chazal's takanas to give penalties to people. Now there is one practical difference. E tafis loy mafkinan. That means if this moyo would be so upset that he'd grab away from the thief, let's call him a thief, the moyo's knife, which is worth, let's say, 150 pounds. I have no idea how much these knives are worth. And he said, "You chutzpah, you took my mitzvah. I'm taking your knife." So what would we say? We might say, you know, what is this? Fight. You take something. I'll take something. In fact, we would let him keep the knife. Tosfos says, really, the money is owed. Beis Din's not going to get involved. But if you get involved, you take the law into your own hands. We're not encouraging you to do so, but you would get to keep the asara zehuvim. So as a result, this is still going to have practical applications today. If somebody steals your mitzvah, and you grab away from the equivalent of asara zehuvim, not saying that it's the right thing to do, Beis Din may decide that you would be allowed to keep it according to this reason. We'll see the three other reasons why maybe not, but at least according to this reason, you would be allowed to keep it. And then he finishes by saying, afilu loy tafos, even if the moel didn't grab it away, and there's nothing he can do about it in Beis Din, mekol mokom, the moel who grabbed the mitzvah, he didn't do a good thing. He shouldn't go home thinking, I did a mitzvah, I'm a tzaddik. You didn't do a good thing, but tzorech lefayis es chaveroi. He has to make his friend happy, whether that's financially, whether that's with words. He can't just grab it and feel that he's gotten the upper hand, he's gotten the mitzvah, and he's been mitzayer someone, and he has to rectify that. And in fact, this is brought lahalacha, this that if you grab, you can keep it. And the point about being mafias, I think, stands to reason that there's no reason why not. I didn't see anyone suggest why you wouldn't have to appease him. The second reason in Rabbeinu Tam is that there may be, this is not only that Beis Din won't force you to pay, but there may be no money owed at all. Rabbeinu Tam says like this, when it comes to the case of Kriyas Torah, oid pach Rabbeinu Tam shum shianu amein. But he grabbed your aliyah. You were going up, and he says, no, it's my yahrzeit. I'm taking the aliyah. He pushes his way forward, whatever he says. I'm a member, you're a half member, all the good excuses why he has kedima. But nevertheless, you got to answer amen to his brachas. And what do Chazal say about answering amen to brachas? They say, gadol ha'oina amen yoysa min ha'mavarech. You're doing a greater mitzvah than the one who made the bracha. So he says, lafi that, Rabbeinu Tam would say, you've lost nothing. On the contrary, you've come out ahead. Okay, that's a good shaila. Let's say nobody knew. It was just between the Gabbai and these two men. Right? So then the Kahal thinks it's just an aliyah. So they're going to answer. And the principle is, if you answer amen, you didn't lose. Now this will help by case of brachas. It won't help by the case of the mitzvah. And that's the chiluk. When it came to Rabban Gamliel, he says, what was with Rabban Gamliel? So we're not going to explain really why the stealing of the mitzvahs was justified, but at least, as Mr. Halpin pointed out, there's two components. The one is the mitzvah and one is the brachas. So the mitzvah will have to settle, but at least the brachas, on that Tosfos says, im kein b'hach uvde Rabban Gamliel tzarech loimo. We have to make an akimta that the person who was going to do the Kisei Hadam, said the bracha quietly. So he didn't give you the opportunity to answer Amen. Could be he did behind closed doors, he did what you couldn't hear. So in that way, that's why Rabban Gamliel charged him for the brachas, and also said, depending on how you're going to repay, but there would be this chiyuv of Asara Zehuvim. So that's a different chiluk. The third way that Rabbeinu Tam suggests why there'd be no obligation to pay is a Gemara again in Chulin. And he says like this, really, all of us, kulam chayavim b'kriyas, the kriyas haTorah. All of us are chayavim kriyas haTorah. That means we say, you were given the aliyah, but you're no more mechuyev to hear the Torah reading than we are. So if so, we're all a part of this. He is a part of it. You're a part of it. What did he take from you? He says, there's nothing stolen in that case. And the Riva says, takes it one step further. And this gets a bit personal because I'm a Kohen. He says, "Afilu amud b'mokim Kohen," even if the Kohen was called up, and this fellow decides it's his yahrzeit and it's very important to him to get aliyah, and he pushes the Kohen aside. So then he says, "The darshina v'kidashto called up v'kedusha." We did give the Kohanim the first aliyah. That's true, but he says that is an asmachta. It's only a din d'rabbanan. So din d'rabbanan. So the Kohen was going to get up. He's going to get the aliyah. This fellow pushes his way forward. According to Rabbeinu Tam, all you stole from him was his right. His right is based on a derabbanan of kiddashtoi. So now, straight away, you can see that this sets a very big precedent. According to this third teretz of Rabbeinu Tam, we've just said that if it's midirabbanan, it's a mitzvah derabbanan, then you don't have to pay. So we've just knocked off many, many cases where this chiyuv wouldn't apply. Anywhere where it's, let's say, someone lights your menorah for you on Hanukkah when you didn't want him to, aside from all other shilas, but it's a mitzvah derabbanan, or he reads the Megillah. You were asked to lane the Megillah for people, and he rushes in and he lanes it instead of you. So in all of these cases, this whole Gemara wouldn't apply. They're all mitzvahs derabbanan, and there would be no obligation. This idea is explained a bit more in a Shailas and Shubas Sefer called Beis Sharim. He says, in a mitzvah, shekol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael mechuyev k'moy tefillin, v'chu chatev tefillin shel chaver v'hanichoy. So there you are, you come into Shacharis and Machzik Yadas, you unwrap your tefillin, and there's a traveler who couldn't find his tefillin, and he sees your tefillin, they look very nice, they look very mehudar, and you walk out the room, excuse yourself, and he reaches over and he starts using your tefillin, and then he proceeds to daven all of Shacharis with them on, and he davens a longer Shacharis. And you have no choice but to daven without your tefillin. So he's stolen away your mitzvah. What would we say? We would say, well, isn't that the perfect example? He has to pay you. Says the Shaitan Shuv Beis Sharim, it's not true. Why? Because he didn't steal away from you your mitzvah. He stole away from you your tefillin. You still have your mitzvah, so you'll have to borrow. You'll have to find some other tefillin. But it's not that your tefillin opportunity was taken away. It's the chetzah, the object of tefillin was taken, but the tefillin, the mitzvah still remains. Now, I'm not saying he's not a ganav. That's a different point. But we're talking about, does he have to pay the yud zehuvim for having stolen your mitzvah? And according to this reasoning, he does not have to pay because your mitzvah remains. You're all mechuyev in tefillin. You've just got a new obstacle that somebody is taking your tefillin without your permission, and he's a thief. But it doesn't mean you're potter. So, so let's say you wanted to daven Shacharis with your tefillin. You're right. Okay, so there was a case, interestingly enough, of a fellow who was particularly obnoxious. His friend bought Arba Minim, and they call him again Reuven, and he was so happy with Arba Minim, he sent it to his friend Shimon to use after he was Yotze Matanam Aslaksir, and he said to Shimon, please return them to me when you're done. But Shimon was a batlin, and he never returned them. And he never returned for all of Sukkos. So this is a case where it's totally taken away from you. Like your case of tefillin, you're right. Later on the day, you could wear them and be yotzeh. But let's say I wanted to wear my tefillin for Shacharis. I hear your point that later in the day, you could do it. But there are cases where they take away the opportunity. The cheftza was borrowed and never returned. So in such a case, we would have thought that's a classic example of stealing someone's mitzvah. In fact, he says, then they never stole your mitzvah. Your mitzvah remains 100% upon you. It's your problem now to find other tefillin, to find other arba minim. You certainly have reason to be disgruntled, but you can't demand from him the sar zehuvim.
The talis would be different, because the talis, you can't make a brook on somebody else's talis, so you don't take away a mitzvah. If you took your talis,
right. So borrow one
you need to go and borrow a talis, you don't make a brook on a talis, surely you don't make a brook.
Okay, so let's say, I imagine, I hear, if you can't, make, okay. Maybe you go to your friend and say to him, give it to me, what would be the nusach, give it to me in a way that is completely mine, the matan lahaksir for Shacharis. I think so, I'm not a baki in those halachas, but, okay.
You have to do it again, it's not his mitzvah, it's not his mitzvah.
With what, with tefillin or with talk? Right. If there's only one set, then he'll have a problem. He's saying, but go borrow somebody else's. The owner who had his arba minim taken away has the opportunity still to do the mitzvah. He'll just have to find another set of arba minim. It was for the second day and the third day and the fourth day. The first day he did it, the other days he hadn't done it. It seems he couldn't go back and get it. No, he sent it in a way it was difficult to get back. That was the Shaila that was asked. I'm not sure why he couldn't go, maybe he couldn't travel. I'm not sure.
And he couldn't get hold of another one for the other days,
That's what he would have to do. That's what he would have to do. Yeah, yeah. Right. But he would still have to do, he's still mechuyev. The Sar Zehuvim wouldn't apply in the later days. But the having to go to get it would apply to the owner, just like all the rest of us. He is without Arba Minim like the rest of us. So he has to go and get Arba Minim from somewhere. Okay. So he says, that could be the pshat in this. Tosfos said, we're all chayiv in kriyas Torah. Mitzvah delay of it. The one who grabbed the aliyah for his father's yortzeit or whatever it was, he's doing his own mitzvah. You've got your mitzvah. He's but not your mitzvah. We all have to do kriyas Torah. In which case, this principle wouldn't apply. So now, the thing that I think troubles us about aliyahs is that we would like to say, intuitively, that it is my mitzvah. It's not pshat that we're all doing a kriyas Torah. Once they call me up, Yamoid, and then I'm going up, that l'chura is my mitzvah. You could say the kriyas Torah is our mitzvah, but I've been designated to do this part of it, or at least to have the brachas on this part of it. So, and the same way we saw by Kisui Hadam, that everybody can do Kisui Hadam. We saw it was obligatory on everyone. But in the meantime, I'm the Sheikhet, it's the blood I'm supposed to cover, it's my mitzvah. So it's not an answer to say, but we're all chayiv in Kisui Hadam. So what's the difference? Why are we saying by an aliyah that it's not my mitzvah? So in fact, the Yamshel Shlomo explains that things were different in the olden days. He says, in the times of Tosfos, it seems they didn't make a kinyan gomor on the aliyahs. That means it was somehow more flexible who was going to get called up and who wasn't going to get called up. He says, but in our generation, if somebody buys Shlishi or Revi, he goes through all the aliyahs, and somebody else grabs that away from him, he says he would have to pay. Why? Because you have made a real kinyan. And he says, not only that, but if the gabai is in charge and decides who gets the aliyahs, so in our generation you would have to pay for stealing someone's aliyah, because he says we go after the minog. In Choshen Mishpat and in these laws of acquiring kinyanim, you have got a kinyan gomor. Once this man, the gabai, is appointed to decide who gets, and there's nobody else whose opinion matters, or you paid for the aliyahs, it becomes your aliyah. So if somebody takes it away from you, it's not like in the times of Rabbeinu Tam. In such a case, he says, you would have to pay, and that's perhaps similar to the Kisui Dam. I'm the Shoichet, this is the blood I'm supposed to cover. It's true, anybody can do it, but right now, I'm the one Mamuna on doing this, and it's considered a Chiyuv of Asar Zehuvim. The last reason, which I found, is brought from the Sma, and he says, this is a bit more dakistic, when do we have to pay and when don't we have to pay this Asar Zehuvim? He says, Rabban Gamliel's case was a case of Kisui Hadam, which is once you shecht, you must do Kisui Hadam. You can't say, I'm going to take the afternoon off. This is a mitzvah chiyuvis. But who asked you to eat fleishik today in the first place? That means if you decide to shecht or don't decide to shecht, so that's totally up to you. So the Sma says that would be another reason why he wouldn't have to pay. A mitzvah which is a chiyuv, and the Torah says you must do this. Okay, you didn't have to check in the first place. Now that I did, I have to cover the blood. For that, he'd have to pay. But interestingly, if I choose to do a mitzvah, for some reason, it doesn't explain why, that's not going to be a mitzvah that needs paying for. And we'll see as we go a bit further, when we understand why are you paying this amount anyway, what's the whole idea of paying this amount, what the answer to this might be. And then I struggled a bit with how to apply this to Kriyas HaTorah. Because there's a bit of a discussion, what is the chiyuv in Kriyas HaTorah? Is it derais, is it derabanan? And maybe that would be an answer here. If we say that Kriyas HaTorah was something that is a chiyuv, but as we said, chiyuv derabanan may not be a case where you pay. And also, the tzibur has a chiyuv to read, but I personally, if I'm, for whatever reason, ba'inus, and I can't come, so I may not even have to make up that reading. It's a different discussion, but the point being that there's this chiluk. If it's a mitzvah you must do, and he grabs it away from you, that's a case where he's going to have to pay. If it's a mitzvah you choose to do, so then he would not have to pay.
If he's a paid shaykh, then he does have to do it, doesn't he?
He could call in sick. He could call in sick.
Call in sick. Yeah, well, he's not sick. No, but he's not sick.
If he could get a substitute, he... It's a financial arrangement. Let's say he doesn't want to get paid, or let's say he... I don't know. Don't think that makes it a mitzvah deraisa. I could be wrong. If you pay a sheikh to shech, it's a chiyuv, but it's a chiyuv moment. It's not a chiyuv in terms of issur v'heter. What's going to be if he doesn't? If he has a good reason why not to go into work that day, then l'chore, that's okay. Yeah.
With the policy, he's not prepared to wear beggar before court. If you do wear one, you have a
chiyuv. Okay, it's interesting. So he mentioned, we mentioned in the, that we were talking about tefillin. Interesting, I don't think he listed tzitzis, because, someone called out, someone did call out talis, and we went along, but your chiluk is a fair one, that it's not the same, but the case we mentioned was tefillin, and there you have no way around it. Okay, sorry?
Someone's got code in there, that called me, and somebody missed the name, so they took it.
So it could be if they did a b'shoigeg, there's someone in my shul, two men who have identical names, and the gabbai has to look at the one that he means to call up. But let's say there would be a mistake. So I'm not sure, because we're talking about a kanas. A kanas, I actually saw this point. A kanas means a penalty for something you did wrong. But if you did a b'shoigeg, then I saw one of the places can say that there's no payment for that. So You have to find a sorry zehuk in a different way. Okay. So this point we said earlier about mitzvahs durabanan. Just want to check we're doing okay for time. Mitzvahs durabanan. We said there may be, according to Tosfos, no chiyuv to pay. However, what's the reasoning behind this? And now we're starting to get some of the reasoning. What are we paying for? Where does this whole idea of paying for stealing a mitzvah come from? So, Sefer, again, the Shaitan Shuz Beis Sharim says like this. What make any sense to make him pay? He asks, a person is trying to do a mitzvah, and we're going to get up and make him pay a penalty for that? He's trying to get up, let's say the case, the father's yahrzeit, he's desperate to bring a schus to his father, and he runs up and he says the brachas. So can we say he did something wrong? He asks, he's trying to do a mitzvah. And we turn around and say, yeah, it's going to be an expensive mitzvah, but you did a mitzvah. So he says, what are we making the payment for? So he gives a very interesting answer. He says, Ishtam hu kadei ha mitzvahs chavivis abaleihem. And mitzvahs deraisa says lav lahenus nitnu. Mitzvahs deraisa were not given for our pleasure; they're given as an ol. He describes it as an ol. I think it's loshon haChazal, ol al tzavareihem. So, if so, maybe we'll be lacking an appreciation of how great it is to have a mitzvah. Somebody takes it away from us, you say, "It's good he took the ol off me." We don't want people to think like that. We don't want people to think mitzvahs are an ol. It's someone once said as a joke about a person who was trying to find excuses. For why not to do things to Yiddish guys. She says, you have 613 problems. We don't want people to have 613 problems. We see it's the opportunity, the chavivus of a mitzvah. So in order to impress on people, say, he stole a mitzvah from you, you deserve a sara zehuvim, right? So you can go buy yourself whatever it is you can buy nowadays with £10,000. People would have a geschmack in mitzvahs in no time. Yeah. So making the impression on people, you've lost something very precious. Then very interestingly, and I spoke to someone about this, this is a very interesting chiddush, he says, but by mitzvahs d'rabbanan, they are lehenes nitnu. Now I've never seen this in print anywhere else. He says a mitzvah d'rabbanan is given for our benefit, is given for our pleasure. In which case, that's why we don't deserve asara zehuvim. Now, he quotes one of the Rishonim who says this, but I think it needs a lot of understanding that, why the rice is not and the d'rabbanans are for our benefit. It's not our subject today, but just something to think about. The Ritva is chaylik on this whole idea. He says, afilu bracha de rabbanan, you still have to pay. He says, not only do you have to pay for mitzvahs de rabbanan, but he says, even a bracha. And his raya is, if you steal benching from someone, the Gemara goes on to give a case of someone who stole benching, he says, the birkas atayva meitiv de rabbananu. You stole four brachas, you're paying for four brachas, one of the brachas is atayva meitiv. He says, that's de rabbanan, and the Gemara says, you have to pay for it. So the Ritva is arguing and says, even for mitzvahs d'rabbanan. We also see from that the idea of paying for brachas, which was mentioned before, which the Ritva goes on to say. He says, schar mitzvah nami beloi bracha, whether you get the bracha alone, or whether you get a mitzvah alone, where you get a mitzvah without a bracha. Well, there are lots of cases. The case the Gemara brings is, your friend has a tree, which is mazik, the reshus harabim, and he's delaying cutting it down, and it's his obligation. You run ahead with your hacksaw, and you cut down the branches, and you say, I did a mitzvah, and there's no bracha on this mitzvah. And he says, it's very nice, you did the mitzvah, it was my responsibility, you took it away from me. And even though he's being mazik the rabim with his tree, potentially you could have to pay him, it's a case brought in the Shulchan Aruch, for cutting down his tree that he should have cut down, that should give you some food for thought before you take care of other people's gardening for them. It's certainly worth asking a shaila. If it's his mitzvah, then maybe you should leave it alone. And he says, so we've got all the cases. If it's a bracha alone, he says, you pay 10. If it's a bracha, if it's a mitzvah alone, but if they're together, you get a discount, 2-for-1 discount. The Ritva says, ki yikam mitzvah bracha kachada chashiva. If it's a mitzvah with a bracha, you only have to pay 10. You don't have to pay 20. So now, a point which I think could trouble us is, how does this edit make sense that you're paying for a mitzvah, even if you want to say make it chaviv to people, but what does a mitzvah have to do with paying cash or paying gold for it? And there's a story, apparently well-known story, about Shmuel Greinemann, who was once, there was a famine, and the Gedolim, the Rabbanim, were very mitzvah about what they could do to help the Yidden. So he stayed up all night, and he came with an idea. He went to the Chafetz Chaim the next morning, so I was told the story, and he told him, I've got the solution. Every day I wear tefillin. Every day I get schar for wearing tefillin. So I'm going to give the schar of wearing tefillin today that schar should push off this famine, and we should all have food in the merit of this one mitzvah that I'm giving up the schar for. Oyev Yisrael, Gevaldik, the Chofetz Chaim said to him, you're missing what's going on over here. He said, imagine you would go into a candy shop in the olden days, and you'd go in with a 50-pound note, and you'd ask for a couple of gumballs or a couple of sweets. They would send you out. It doesn't make any sense. The currency doesn't match the purchase. So it's in the same way, you have no musag of the schar of a mitzvah that you should be offering that for something, for a davar gashmi. It doesn't make sense to offer such a thing. Interesting. Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. There seems to be no connection. Nowadays, with the prices of candy, I'm not so sure that going in with a 50-pound note is such a bad idea. But in the olden days, it used to be a mismatch. But then if you look in the Medrash Rabbah, it seems to give a different story. There was once a Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they were living, Talmudim were living in poverty. They were learning Torah, but they were living in poverty. And one Talmud decided, that's it, I'm going to Chutz Laaretz to go to make my fortune. And sure enough, he came back with having made a fortune. He came up in the modern terms in his Lexus with air conditioning on and blowing a fat cigar. And the other Talmudim came out of the yeshiva and they looked at him and they said, that's what happens when you go to Chutz Laaretz. And they all started calling the travel agent. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to him, wait a minute. He said, this is what you think that he gained and you lost. He said, come with me and I'll show you something. So they all went with him to this valley, one of the valleys, it says a deep valley. And he called out, Bika, Bika. He said, called out to the valley, fill up with the golden coins, the schar of the reward of these people. And a nace, however it worked, the valley filled up with golden coins. We can imagine the amount of golden coins in a valley, right? Mind-boggling, the number. And he said to him, if you want to take, you can take. And the Talmidim chapt that, but he said, but you won't have it in the Olam Haba. So the Talmidim chapt that whatever this fellow has now is nothing compared to what we're going to have. Every minute that he was sitting, you know, in business class over there, we were sitting in the base medrash, we've lost nothing, we've gained everything, and they went back to the limud. But the point is that there seems to be that it is a fair mashal to compare the schar of a mitzvah. It strikes home. Asar zehuvim, golden coins for mitzvahs, although it doesn't make sense like the story of the Chofetz Chaim, but it has to speak to that this is something very precious. And the Medrash describes that was the mashal Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai used to show the Talmidim how precious their mitzvahs were. The Chasam Sofer is not happy with the idea of equating money for mitzvahs, and he asks like this, similar question. He says, "L'chora nira lo schar shavi a mitzvah oy a bracha chalila." He says, "God forbid that anybody should make a mistake and think that what you're paying for and what you're getting is money in exchange for the mitzvah or the bracha that you lost." He says, "We have mi yochel yishayir. Who can imagine the value of a mitzvah that we should place any sort of value on it? Just doesn't start. So what are you paying for?" So he has a very interesting cheshbon, the Chasam Sofer. He says like this. There's really no difference. The person, he says, the Gemara says, a person who has a mitzvah, chishav la'asos mitzvah v'nanas, what do we say? V'loy asam ma'alov akosav kilu aso. If a person was trying to do a mitzvah and he was stopped, what do Chazal say? You get the full schar as if you did the mitzvah. So he grabbed your aliyah away from you. And Chazal say, you were ready to go. Nothing stopping you. You wanted to go. You get the full schar of the mitzvah as if you did it. So if so, he says the Chasam Sofer, he hasn't taken anything from you. You've lost nothing. So what is he even paying you for? Before we asked, what's the whole idea of paying for a mitzvah? How does that work? But here he's saying, this doesn't make sense to pay for a mitzvah because you didn't lose anything in the mitzvah. So he says, you did lose one thing. He says, the thing you didn't lose is he has a gevaldika simcha. This is a whopping chiddush. He says, he has a gevaldika simcha. He gets a tremendous schar for serving Hashem with simcha. And he'll get schar for the simcha that he gets, even though he did something not very nice, but he's going to be rewarded for the mitzvah and for the schar of the simcha that he had in doing the mitzvah. And the one who was taken from, he has anguish that he never got to serve Hashem. But he says, he gets mekibul schar shemayim al tzaroi. He's going to get the same schar for the upset that he would have gotten for the simcha of serving Hashem doing the mitzvah. That means I might have chosen to get the aliyah and to have the simcha of doing the aliyah, and This fellow gets great reward for it. I, who didn't get the aliyah, so I'm put out by it, I'm disappointed. He said, that schar for disappointment of not getting a mitzvah is as great as the schar of doing serving Hashem b'simcha. And in some ways, it's the aspect of loving Hashem. Either way, it's the love of Hashem. You got to do it, you didn't get to. If your father asks you to do something, you get to, you're very happy. At the end, somebody takes away from you, you're sad. Why are you sad? He said, because you didn't get to do it. So he says, that's the same. There's no difference there.
So what's the payment? He gets the schar.
Very good. You're on the right track. That's what he asks. So he says, what are you paying for? He says, there is one difference. Tsar gufa ika hefresh. There's physical pain. The physical pain that you suffer. He means a person who doesn't get a mitzvah, in his understanding of how we should feel, is you physically feel upset. Your stomach turns, or the disappointment, or whatever it is. There's something about it that physically should be mitzvah us when we don't get a mitzvah. He says you get paid because of the physical suffering that you went through in not getting the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch actually brings an opinion that says that Asar Zehuvim was not a fixed amount. In other words, we've been learning until now it's only Asar Zehuvim, any mitzvah, any man, it's all the same. But there's a second sheet in Shulchan Aruch which says that it depends on you. If you're a person who's medaktik at mitzvahs, then you get more money. If you're a person who's lazy with mitzvahs, you get less money. And that fits with this chasam sofer, the idea that it goes according to how much tsar did you have. It doesn't make sense to pay a man who doesn't care if he gets the mitzvahs or not, according to this opinion. The first opinion is everybody gets paid, and it's a fixed amount. But this opinion says, let's find out how much you love mitzvahs. And it's very good with the chasam sofer. You're getting paid for your physical tsar. In Shemayim, there'll be nothing, no difference whatsoever. But in this world, you had anguish. So, someone pointed out to me, first of all, I want to point out that l'chura it comes out that you come off better off. Because first of all, you get the full schar of the mitzvahs, and you get the schar for the equivalent of the simcha of doing the mitzvahs. And someone says, and you get cash. But I was going to say differently. And you get the schar of an additional mitzvah of trying to be a mevater, assuming you're being mevater. Being mevater, and if you do that with simcha, that's probably worth PLF, whatever the original mitzvah was worth. The person who's got yeshiva das and says, it was b'sheret, I would have liked to have the mitzvah, would have been wonderful to have the mitzvah, it didn't work out, but nevertheless, he's now got two mitzvahs, and the second mitzvah, l'chur, is very great. So that's the chasam sofer. We're basically out of time. I'll just finish with one point. Where does the sar zehuvim come from? One of the opinions, the Yamshel Shlomo, he says it's from Kabbalah, but the Kata Kamach says, by Eliezer, it says there, Ve'ekod ve'eshtachav et Hashem v'avarchas Hashem. And next to it, it says, he's bowing down, thanking Hashem that Rivka had agreed to the Shidduch. And this, the Pasuk after that says, he gave her a Sarah Zav Mishkolam. He gave her a present worth 10 golden coins. So it says, that's an asmach to the idea that a mitzvah, or the opportunity to mitzvah, should be worth a Sarah Zehuvim. We're going to finish with that. We should be zeichet to appreciate the greatness of mitzvahs and to bring the B'ez Goel Tzedek M'heri Amen. Amen. Yeah.